Blog Talk Radio.
In the 5th century, Mawin Sagat was born. When he reached the age of 16, he was kidnapped and enslaved, forced to work on a farm. What does this have to do with us all today? Find out when you come back with us here on Spiritual Insight. Michael, and you're listening to Spiritual Insight, and your host, Darren Bouquer, will be here in just a second. I'll get his microphone on. What you were just listening to was Woven Green. This is a band that I've worked with and that I very much enjoy working with. They will be back on our show. I think they still hold the record for the highest-rated episode of Main Street Universe when they were the guests the last time. They're go-getters, and I look forward to having them back. I'm going to go ahead now and turn on the microphone for Mr. Darren Bouquer. Hello, Darren. You're on.
Hi. Hello there. Happy Sláinte, you know, all that jazziness. How was your day so far, my Daniel Michael?
That's right. Sláinte. It has been well, a kind of a calm, quiet day. I was actually at church, a Unitarian church that I attend. My brother is the minister. In fact, Woven Green is now resident musicians in that.
I like what they're doing. Are they like a Native American? Are they, you know, like Native U.S. people? Or are they actually Irish or what?
Oh, well, no, but that song has kind of a cross between a gypsy and maybe an Irish feel to it, but they're very much into alternative spirituality, and some of their sound goes in that direction. They're actually quite versatile and quite progressive, so I recommend anybody look them up, Woven Green.
I would like that.
Right up.
Definitely for, like, ritual or something. I could totally play that in the background. That would be really good.
Oh, absolutely. They are part of, they're part of the entire church thing. They do they help with the church music and do all sorts of things. So, how have you been?
Cool.
You in a while.
So, a lot going on, you know, here. I do have, I am getting married next weekend, so I got a lot going on with that. But just in general, I've been pretty busy. I did a fantastic energy clearing earlier this afternoon, which turned out really well. A lot of positive, feedback on that one. Sometimes, I get just a when someone has a real knot and they're at the point where they they can't kind of navigate through a lot of the life issues that are happening. And if it's largely spiritual, then I will offer to do like a cleansing or, you know, do a low level ritual that can kind of just free that up. And it's, the impact on it is really, it's really prolific for just a low level ritual, you know? So it's really good when I get a chance to do that. And I have access to people if they're in town, you know, when they're out of town, I can still do it, but it's a remote thing. And it's not as, you know, it's still powerful, but it, you know, it's not quite as powerful as having the person there and having access to them. So,
and I consider it to be, it's such a simple thing to do, but it's such an important thing to do regularly to energetically cleanse. Just think of it as a spiritual circuit or like plumbing, like pipes. Mm-hmm. You just got to flush the pipes out sometimes to let the energy flow properly. You know?
It's true. It's true. It's like oil change, you know. Like the car's just not running all wonky, and you're just going and going along, and it's just something simple. But, you know, if you go the extra 50,000 miles without doing your oil change, your car will die, and that will be it. So, but it's important. And sometimes people try to work around, like we're having an issue, but we're working around it and doing everything else we can possibly do but addressing that, just cleaning that issue or releasing it. So it's like they're walling up all this stuff and creating constructs when all they needed to really do is go in there and rip that out of there or just, you know, clear that energy. And then once they do, they're like, wow, why didn't I think of that? I'm like, I don't know. I don't know why. Why didn't you think of that? So that's interesting. Any personal connections with this holiday yourself at all or what, anything you want to add about it?
I would say yes. To a degree, I mean, I am of Irish descent as well as French and, you know, a few other things, just like any Americans, I guess. And I think my connection with it is that it's a simple one. It's that I enjoy holidays that are about joy, as simple as that sounds. Mm-hmm. And in America, St. Patrick's Day, though St. Patrick was kind of a serious cat there, but it's become a holiday about, hey, go ahead, tip your glass, enjoy good company, and have fun. Mm-hmm. And I love holidays like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's my third favorite holiday. not that everyone's, like, writing this down or anything, but, you know, I love Halloween, and I love, you know, Yule or Christmas or whatever, however you want to look at it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the whole seasonal end-of-the-year gift-giving festivus, crazy Kwanzaa, you know, like that whole area of time. And then this was my third favorite because, quite frankly, it's just like, I don't know. I have a huge thing for, like, Celtic iconography and, like, old school. I mean, there's such a rich history with Ireland and music and spiritualism, and they were some of the last Christianized people, arguably the last Christianized people in Northern Europe.
Wow.
Now, I'm taking Scandinavia out of the picture, okay? You know, the Vikings fought the metallurgy and stuff, and the Viking, the most southern Viking outpost in Europe was the Dublin, which was named Dublin, which was a Viking word for dark pool, which they had a dark pool right on the river there. So it's like, it's just an amazing, I don't know, I mean, it's just an amazing, vibrant culture. I celebrated, one of my first tattoos I got was an illustration from the Book of Kells, the first Christian document in Ireland's history. And what I really like to really examine is the fact that there's just a whole cauldron or boiling point that went down with St. Patrick where the whole damn island was really, really pagan. And they were like, we don't care what all y'all are talking about. We don't care. Like, we don't give a, you know, like the Romans were Christian and they were like, you know, living in England and they would go and raid the little villages and, you know, grab some people and throw them in chains and then have them be slaves over on the other island. And that was it.
And it's important to remember that both sides had their interesting history and had some of their own tyranny as well. But when you think of it from saying, okay, this was sort of a pagan holdout in a way, you know, this was, they were holding on to it a little longer, like you said. In fact, Máin Sagat, who I mentioned earlier, is St. Patrick. That was his original Celtic name.
Mm-hmm.
And he was kidnapped and enslaved.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting if you want to get into some of the other aspects of it, such as the snakes, that's the metaphor for driving out the pagans, as he develops bitterness towards them.
Yeah, a friend of mine just posted on Facebook her little outrage about it, you know, and with all my little, you know, all my New Orleans friends are all like, screw that, and all this stuff, you know, and it's just, and I get where you're going to get angry, but the thing is, when you look at the whole, what's great is you look at both sides of the aspect, okay? Here's somebody who's living his little life, probably on some sort of monastery slash, like, farm, and he was kind of an aristocrat, okay? So he kind of had an upwardly mobile background, well-to-do family, and these people just come up and throw him in a boat and kidnap him, and then he's like the houseboy, like the house slave,
yeah.
Right? I think there were, from what the book I read, and it was, you know, it was very historically accurate, but also, you know, it was like telling the story of. So they treated him well, and then he escaped, and, you know, because they were so lax about it, and he left, and then his whole thing was to come back and convert everybody. And hence, there's the story, you know.
Was he kidnapped by pagans or Christians?
Oh, the whole communities there were pagans, mostly.
Okay, that's what I thought. So I thought he was. So that might have had him Saint Patrick or
Owen. To flesh out what I read was basically like, you know, it was a lot of the larger communities were still run by the high kings, and the high kings were Celtic or, you know, and polytheistic, and so they worshipped many gods. And so when he was kidnapped, he was just made to be like a house. A slave, but he was still treated well. You know, he was like a member of the family, sort of, but
it was still forced.
You know,
But it was still forced servitude, basically.
He was still forced. He was an indentured servant, you know. And at some point, they were just like, we don't care if you leave or not, because we kind of like, you know, I mean, they just kind of let him go. If we wake up in the morning and you're gone, then oh well. So he went home, and he's like, you know, these people are very amenable. They really could use Christianity, so his whole thing was to go back there and convert everybody. And they did have Christian outposts in Ireland. They just weren't the major thing, and they weren't getting any ground. So his whole thing was to, like, go to the pagan festivals on Samhain and, you know, and go there. And their whole thing was, their belief was that, you know, if you put out the major fire during Samhain, then the whole world would end. So his big thing he had in his head the whole time was, I'm going to go to that fire and put it out, and then everyone's going to see the world, and then everyone's going to convert.
And it reminds,
of course, what?
That reminds me of a story of how sometimes certain Christian groups, such as the Jesuits, don't mind incorporating a little bit of letting their kids believe in magic for a while, but then that fire is put out, like Santa Claus and all that. They don't mind it that much, because then they go, okay, well, now you don't believe in Santa Claus. Santa Claus is a leftover pagan thing. Now come and believe in a real, you know, a real faith, and, you know, believe in...
Yeah, isn't that funny?
Mm-hmm.
It's like killing... It's like we want to, like, destroy your hopes and dreams. Like, okay, that was fun while you were a kid, and now...
Yeah.
Now you have to be, you know, now you're transitioning, and we have to just destroy all your, like, hopes and fun.
Yeah, Odin's not walking with you anymore and all that. None of that Santa Claus stuff. None of the magic, but real magic come to us. By the way, folks, for you listening, I am someone who is very, very, very much comfortable in a church, and I'm all for Christianity. Even one or two of our hosts are Christian, in fact, as part of their orientation, so I just want to get that out there. Anytime I make a comment, it's either historical, or if I occasionally am talking about the Christians, I mean... maybe occasionally someone that's extreme, but I think...
Oh, yeah, well, I mean, the book I read was not demonizing St. Patrick by any means.
Yeah.
It was
actually
really glorifying him. I mean, you know, you can't, you know, they called him Padre, they gave him Gaelic names, they gave him honorary roles and stuff, and he did things that I thought were, you know, yeah, some of it was appalling, because they'd dig up the old Viking ancestor of so-and-so person, and then they'd baptize him. The body, which is like, really, you know, but the rest of the family wouldn't convert unless the head of the family was baptized. But the thing is, he also started missions for people. He fed all the poor and everything. And he developed a sense of community where everyone wasn't trying to kill each other, which, if you, you know, read the book that I was reading, it was amazing. So that's just...
It can sometimes be about timing. It's not about whether one faith is better than the other, but one faith might be a better come to this light during this uncomfortable or chaotic time.
Right.
It really, timing can have a lot to do with it.
Uh-huh. It can, and I think that sense of community was very helpful during that period of time. That sense of community was a large part of why St. Patrick had people rally behind him and that sort of thing. So I thought that was good.
Yeah, and we do have a caller, Aaron. Mm-hmm. Go ahead and take them.
Okay.
Hello, 618, you're on the air.
Hello, and happy St. Patrick's Day.
Oh, Kevin Bear.
Happy St. Patrick's Day. Hi.
And since we're slightly touching on the Christian thing, I was wondering, Darren, do you think, or what are your thoughts about the potential that the Catholic Church wanted to, when they elected their new pope, did they want to affect the Catholic world the same way that the U.S. affected the body of the U.S. citizens by electing Obama? You see what I'm saying?
I think that what you're looking at, I mean, and I hate to make a statement on the air, like a giant, broad, sweeping sociopolitical statement like that, because, this is why people like a spiritualist like me does not get involved in politics, because I get messages from stuff, I have feelings, I write, I do a lot of things that I feel are great on a one-to-one basis, but when you look at a broad, sweeping thing, a theme like, you have South America involved. You have Italy
involved.
You have two. What? I'm sorry.
I'm saying you can get lots of cross mixed connections because of so many folks involved in the decisions.
But do I think that it has a large inclination towards? Do we want to make inroads towards building bridges towards South America? Yes, I do. I do think that there's a lot of untapped resources and just talent and all sorts of things that are all in South America that we're trying to expand towards, okay, that the global market and the global economy is trying to utilize. And, yeah, I think that now let's look at Germany. Why Germany? Hello, they have one of the best economies in the world right now, arguably, right?
Right.
So maybe that's part of why they've decided for the other pope. I'm not sure.
Anything.
You know, just because the Vatican had such a lot on it, before, I mean, they still, a lot of the popes back in the Medici days and stuff and afterwards or before the Jacques de Molay days, a lot of them were French. Why? Because France was the major seat of money and, the breadbasket and that sort of thing. So yeah, I agree with you.
And
that's your thought.
I would like to add as well that there is a certain importance to religious institutions having money. In fact, today at the Unitarian Church I was at, it was kind of their stewardship day. It was their day to ask for money. You know, they do so in a very, correct way and inspirational and things like that. And it's an interesting thing when you go inside because people start talking about faith-money argument, which I'm not trying to go too far into that. And my brother made an awesome point, though, and my brother's a pretty good minister there, and he said, why is it that we don't think it's okay for someone who's doing really good work in faith or in charity to make a lot of money, but if they're making something completely unproductive for society, then, hey, go ahead, free market. Hey, you got a new violent video game? Awesome. The only productivity is the money itself, almost, one could argue.
And not to change the subject at all from what he was saying, and go on a tangent, but I totally get that all the time. If I were you, I wouldn't charge for that sort of thing. And And it's something where my mentor taught me from Jump Street when I learned, it's an exchange of energy. So I don't care if somebody hands you a chicken or a basket of grapes or whatever, I might need that basket of grapes. I don't know, So, I mean, it's an exchange of energy. And if I do this, if this is my job, and I'm, then then yes, I do need to get some sort of compensation at some point. So that is, it's important.
And speaking of which, that's also how folks in that level of spiritual professionalism work. Like in a church, you get tithings. If you're a reader and or a psychic or a medium, whatever the terms people like to use, you get paid individually by clients. It's just how it is. Or you have a new age or whatever it is.
Let's ask, what's your name, sir?
That's
Kevin.
What was it? I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
It was Kevin Baird that was on the line.
Oh, that was Kevin? Oh, my God.
It's okay. Since no one is here, I'm surprised because usually the phone lines just light up, but we've been
a huge major holiday. You know, I can't tell you how weird it is. I've gotten some phone calls today and people are like, oh, you know, like I'm usually not very coherent at this point on St. Patrick's Day.
I understand completely, in keeping with your Irish Lebanese tradition.
You're my Irish Lebanese. I love it. But I love Celtic iconography. I love, you know.
You are part Lebanese as well, right?
I'm Lebanese, Sicilian, and there's a little Polish in there too.
Okay, I thought so. I thought I remember you mentioning that before. And I wanted to say, well, since no one's on the line, I thought we would do something a little bit different. And I have a question that I would like to ask you.
Okay. Yeah.
And it's not general. It's a little bit specific, and I'll just let you sort of take it away.
Sure.
Right now, and for a pretty good amount of time, I've been looking for either a female lead singer for a band or someone with a high voice. Like, it can be a guy. It's a little easier to find than a girl because I sing low. Or what I mean by lead singer, I mean accompanying singer, someone to do harmonies. I'm wondering if there's any message from the universe as to what I may do to go about attracting this other singer, this partner, harmony singer, into my musical project.
Oh, that's easy.
Bob Hickman.
Set up why don't you want to start, Kevin, and then I'll finish? Or
Bob Hickman, maybe?
Call Bob Hickman and ask him?
Or no, he would be a good singer.
Really?
Oh, okay. Maybe. He likes to sing. I know that. I can attest to that.
And let's keep moving from there.
Okay, how about this? This is what I would do. I would set up a ritual where I would utilize you're sending out tethers of energy to the universe, as in, first of all, you're going to play, during the ritual, you're going to play the music that you need to, you want to utilize.
Okay.
So that music is going to be, but it'll be, you're not doing any vocals on it, are you?
Yes. What this is a partnership. I am actually the lead singer, or the singer, meaning I'm looking for a partner singer to harmonize with. So I think of Alice in Chains, Simon and Garfunkel, all those great two-singer bands. You know, I'm looking for that other singer. I'm low. I want somebody high.
Okay. Well, then I would visualize that person standing next to you, play the music, open the circle, ask whatever is spiritual agencies that you're very comfortable with, that you've had Congress with before, that will be likely to help you, and whether it be Jesus or St. Patrick or Sir Nunnus, the Horn Lord of the Animals, or whoever it is, and I would ask them to help you manifest this very soon.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
So what do you think of that?
No, that's good. I like that.
And then also what you want to do is you want to either utilize you can burn different incense using charcoal, resins, oils, using charcoal that relate to that topic specifically, like maybe something that really inspires you when you're writing the music, or maybe something that it works together with. You know, I always like cinnamon. I use a lot of cinnamon a lot.
I like it too.
Drawing energy. Like, it creates a spice. It creates like a kind of an attraction, you know. Vanilla works really well too. Sandalwood. So I would do all that, but it's working largely with visualization. And then you want to put yourself out there so you can run into this person.
Right.
So you can help
yourself. Which I have been doing to some degree, but I've been running into people that haven't quite been working out. And I didn't mean to anyway shorten what Kevin was saying. I was just getting you involved was also, Kevin, I wasn't trying or anything. And the thing is, and then we do have a caller, and I'll bring them on in just a second. 615, I see you there. And every divination I've been doing is saying it's going to take a while, but I think it's saying
You could call Bob. I mean, see, you know, right. I would try to start calling people that you maybe looked. You've already looked in your little circle of what you're used to. Look outside of it.
Yeah.
And you've already tried the obvious people, so.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You so need somebody local,
maybe
though.
Even
you don't need somebody.
Energy of, well, I haven't added the energy of a ritual for it. I will admit that. I haven't done that yet.
Well, I know you haven't. That's why I said something.
Yeah, exactly. Which is funny.
I guess also,
when I've been asking either the cards or divination or pendulum, they've all been saying, no, it's not going to happen for a while, but then I haven't put the energetic thing forward.
Well, I just got the Ace of Wands inverted, and that's not good.
That's exactly, and I keep getting the, but I think that's based on the actions I'm taking now. Now, if I change that, do an energy construct, a ritual, da-da-da, that may change the outcome
that's
of that.
That's why you need to change it. Sometimes you have a little, like your energy is really chill. It's really, it's not very like, it doesn't have the veracity that goes after and destroys, you know. And if you're going to change a sequence of events, then you maybe need that like really dramatic, like destroy your energy a little bit.
And I do possess that, but I'm doing so many things that I haven't given this thought, this kind of energy. I've given it to my radio show and it grows and grows and grows, you know.
You may be divesting too much. You're sending it out in too many directions. So.
Okay.
Which, believe me, I appreciate it because you're on, you know, you get to be on with me.
Doing it now.
I know, there it is. You're doing it right now. So how about that?
Yes, and we do have a caller. I don't like this being about me anymore.
Okay. You know, like I said, Darren's fault.
I'm just playing. I'm playing.
I don't know.
we have 615 on the air. 615.
Hello?
Yes.
Hello? Hi. 615.
Hi, what's your name?
Dave.
Dave, hi. Happy holiday.
Yeah, you too.
Okay, thanks. All right, so any ideas or feelings about this holiday or anything you'd like to share or ask questions about?
Well, about the holiday, I don't know. I just kind of went out and had a Guinness and walked around downtown, but I just stopped over a friend of mine's house and sat on his porch, and, you know, he's pagan like I am, but the thing is what really was kind of weird is, you know, I convinced him that his mailbox was loose, and he just made a stone mailbox and had it, like, it's in there. You'd have to dynamite it out, and he's like, man, you could saw Ice Cube's Eskimos. He said, you really need to get into acting. He said, because you're very convincing, and he was telling me this, and an hour later, which I'm actually at a bookstore, and I just started talking to a guy out at the free bin. They have free books out in front. And I just and I talked to everybody.
I already
pulled
the card
out of the woodwork. And then I started talking to him, and this guy does independent. He's done 5 independent films, and so they're going to film one here in July. So he's going to send me the sides, and I'm going to try out for a couple CEO parts in the movie.
Oh, cool.
So we sat on his porch.
My point is
I was sitting on the porch, and my friend told me I need to look in to trying out for parts in movies because I would be good at it. And then an hour later, I run into somebody, and now I'm going to get to try out for a movie.
Okay.
So I thought that was pretty bizarre, you know.
Well, bizarre is sometimes happen, and it sometimes happens.
This is my life. This is my life, but
I thought that was pretty cool,
you know.
You're obviously tied into a very powerful, like, cathartic strain of energy that propels you into doing these things that are pretty, maybe a little outrageous by other people's standards. Do you know that while you were talking, I was just inclined to pull a card, which I never do while people are talking for no reason, but I pulled the Fool right side up. And honestly, let's visit a little story that I heard about Brad Pitt. Brad Pitt was in his last year of college, senior in college, decided to leave, but he wasn't going to have enough credits to finish, got in his little beat-up car and drove to L.A. to deliver pizzas, and he got discovered and became you know, blah, 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 famous actor, you know, world-renowned. The Fool is the same type of premise, okay? It shows somebody just leaving everything, jumping off a cliff, just leaving it all behind. But he has the light of God shining behind him. He is, like, totally empowered, totally free within himself and believes in himself and his purpose. And you know what? Even if something goes wrong, it could, but it doesn't matter because he has the journey to look forward to. And I think that's what you're looking at. So
good. That's a good part.
Cool.
Yeah, I think that's beautiful. And, you know, I did it earlier, too, where I just pulled a card for no reason. I usually don't do that, but I'm feeling it tonight, and I think it really applies to what's going on with you, and I think you need to ride that wave of energy, definitely.
Oh, okay, cool. All right.
So that's really awesome. If you want, I'll pull one more for you, if you want, just to see.
Sure.
Were you trying to decide between a couple of different endeavors, or...?
Well, I've got something that I can do even while I'm doing this. It's actually working with really very closely, like talking every day to a major celebrity doing what he's doing. And he keeps calling me, wanting me to work with him. And so I'm going to do that also. And that just came out of the woodwork, too. So.
All right. Well, just one second. Okay.
But yeah, to answer your question, yes.
Okay. I think that your moneymaker is going to be a female, kind of a maybe not a young female, but someone showing up as the Queen of Pentacles. So maybe a female actress who has a little credibility, who has quite a bit of money, who you can kind of interact with or relate to. It could be a producer or somebody, but definitely a female and somebody who wants to just build on you and your assets and have you help them. Which is going to be springboard for you.
Oh, okay,
it's,
great.
It's definitely good because this person's got money and they like you apparently. So that's how you build careers, you know.
Well, cool. So it's obviously someone I'm going to meet. So
you got to keep your and you know what? If maybe you think, oh, this is someone out of my maybe they're out of my age range or they're not somebody. Do they have romantic interest in me? Give it a chance, just even if you're not interested or something, because maybe they just want to be friends. Or maybe it starts off where they're coming on to you, but maybe it'll just develop into a friendship that you can really build on professionally. So I think that'll be good.
Okay, cool. Thanks for that.
You got it, buddy. All right. Good holiday.
All right, thank you, and thank you for joining us, 615.
Okay, thanks.
Sorry, your mic's off. I'll turn it back on. Hold on. You're back on, 615. Sorry. Go ahead.
You know, I said happy St. Patrick's Day, and thanks a lot, and have a good night.
All right, Swancha. All right, 615 is off the air. That's a good card. Now, you know, Darren, when I first started to read tarot, as some do when they first start to read tarot, oftentimes there's a card that comes in over and over and over again. And mine was always the Fool, and it was exactly right for that. It's like it becomes your card. For my friend Brett, it was the Hermit, I'm sorry. And I think it was, I wasn't taking enough chances. I wasn't jumping out there. I wasn't, you know, and it was the perfect advice for me at that time.
Right. Well, go ahead, Kevin. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Something happened with the phone and it clicked or whatever, and I guess I'm back. Blog Talk Radio must be doing something crazy.
You're good. Yeah, you're good here. Your mic's on.
Hello?
Yep, we hear
Hello?
You.
Hello? Okay.
Can you hear me?
We can hear you. All is well.
Okay. Yeah. Yep.
I know it happens. We have technical things that go on sometimes here at Vlog Talk Radio. But...
technical things. That's okay. I mean, it's really not. I mean, it's so user-friendly that it's like, I don't
think
it's a
big deal. Oh, Darren.
We now have a sister network.
Oh, really?
Yes, called Cafe Fairfax.
And oh, wow. Okay, cool. So it's a whole network thing.
We won it last night. Now, Darren, let's go back to our conversation about St. Patrick.
Okay.
Let's go to St. Patrick's Day and maybe a little bit of history. I'll start off.
I could talk about a couple of different places I've lived where St. Patrick's Day is like crazy, ribald, like not so like parade, and everyone wakes up at the crack of dawn and just starts drinking beer, green beer, Irish whiskey, you know, painting areas of their body crazy and just going crazy. So that's, I mean, that's the kind of thing that it's I originally grew up in Cleveland. So in Cleveland, that's the biggest day to go out and like be crazy in Cleveland.
And also think
of the year.
Baltimore, Irish Catholic, Boston, Irish Catholic.
Boston, Savannah, they have like a Mardi Gras thing going on in Savannah for St. Patrick's Day. Savannah, like if there's a bar in Savannah, they clear out all the seats so that people can just pile in and just you know, from the crack of dawn. It's actually, they'll start screaming about it like 3 days before St. Patrick's Day. So it's just, it's crazy.
And so
I know Philadelphia, obviously, Chicago.
Now, the first St. Patrick's Day in America, officially, I mean, Darren, with officialness of a parade and the whole nine yards, was in Boston in 1737. And it was run by the Charitable Irish Society. New York followed up a few years later in 1752. And that's when
the Charitable Irish Society, okay.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the thing, like, they, you know, in Ireland, this is what's terrible. It's like we're really making a big, like, gaudy, terrible, debauched version of their very, you know, dour. I don't want to say dour is not a positive word. Okay, how about just serious, spiritual, and reflective day? We're taking it to the other end of, like, you know.
However.
Some debauched nightmare. Uh-huh.
I will say, however, there was, even for the very strict Christians, there was the element added to St. Patrick's Day that it was okay to have a few pints, tip your glass, and relax. Now, like you're saying, it wasn't the production that it became in America, which is still fun, but there was the relaxedness of it, even amongst the very stern and very strict Christians. Okay, have a few drinks. It's March 17th. And I'm curious your opinion on its closeness to Ostara. I wonder if that has any relation.
I mean, in bulk is, we left that, we're past in bulk, you know what I mean? We're like, we're ready. It's spring is happening and we better get ready, you know? And with the Emerald Isle, I mean, it's probably just really becoming Emerald at that point. Like, it's starting to happen. People want that, they're getting that cabin fever is like releasing, you know? And yes, you're right. As I was giving my whole speech about, you know, America's version being very debauched, yes, there is that element of after church and after sitting with your family and having a nice meal and reflecting on things. Yeah, they went out and had fun. Yes, they did.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that was definitely part of it, too. The men did. I know that for sure. And the women probably had a little something at home, too. I mean, that was probably an understanding that went down. I was really definitely in agreement with that whole idea. I think that we as Americans maybe latched onto that, and we just expanded that into, like, all sorts of merchandising and you know, everything else. I just happen to like a lot of that, you know. Now that I'm – it's funny to be back here in the city because it's so great, but, I mean, it's just another excuse for everyone to come here from all around the area or all around the country – and come here and just go crazy for St. Patrick's Day because it's been happening all weekend, you know. So it's just that there's that. But it happens for, you know, people come here all the time to do that. So, but the aspect of spirituality on it is like this person really, he was enslaved by people. He was sort of released by them. And you think that this is somebody that the last place on the planet he would want to go back to is a place where he was enslaved and treated like less than a person, and he felt like it was his duty to go back there and help those people. Or in his mind, that was like the right thing to do. You know, whether or not it was, that's a debatable thing. So I think that he was a special sort of person, and he did change the map of, you know, like our spiritual thought of what a saint is and what a saint can do. On a lot of levels, he is one of the more noteworthy saints at all, anywhere in the world. Would you three agree on that, or you two agree
absolutely
on that?
Absolutely. He, as well, helped to build schools.
Mm-hmm.
He was interested in, perhaps because of his former enslavement, having educated poor people so that they wouldn't have to be in that position or feel any sort of servitude towards people, because education has that effect. You know, it has to bring the mind. So he did, yes, he built monasteries as well, and he was writing about mass school expansions, if my reading is correct. And
I'm telling you, look, he was a baller, because he went in there, there's a bunch of big, scary pagan people that want to kill you, and he went in there and he's like, look, I'm going to turn your fire off. He's like, no, I don't care what you say. And he just turned their fire, he threw water on it, and he's like, see, you're still alive. Can you imagine the balls this guy had?
Absolutely.
That's pretty crazy.
Go into that environment on their home territory, obviously.
Yes.
To do
and
that.
And nobody, the most 80% of the island was like hardcore pagan and like not happy about him and not happy. And he was just like, I'm doing my thing. I'm trying to spread peace. And I mean, I think that's pretty cool. However, my Satru side of me wants to scream when I think of him digging up someone's grandpa and baptizing him. I mean, what do you think of that, Kevin?
It might be it was a dare.
Oh, yeah, that might be the real story.
Why else, really? There's always, you know, two-thirds of the story never makes it to the surface.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's my angle.
Yeah, okay. I could believe that. I mean, apparently his reputation was building bigger than he was, like a month after he got there and started converting people, so he probably was trying to do things to sensationalize himself as well.
I agree, and I think that plays into Kevin's point, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to go into a few of the practices associated not just with St. Patrick's Day, but some myths associated kind of with Irishness in general, such as the four-leaf clover or the shamrock itself, the three-leaf clover. For those that don't know, that's a three-leaf clover.
Uh-huh.
Now, St. Patrick was said to use that for teaching the Holy Trinity. Now, it makes me think of the exact symbol I'm wearing right now, which is a triquetra. And that's both a pagan and a Christian symbol. It's used by both three faces of divinity, whether it's maiden, mother, or crone, or Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And, you know, the shamrock is very similar. It's the three, you know, shapes there.
So
the four-leaf clover is interesting in the fact that it happens in one in 10,000 shamrocks is a four-leaf clover. And it's said that the Druids felt that the four-leaf clover was something that would provide protection from evil spirits because of its rareness, in part. There's even an old myth about Eve having a four-leaf clover, the garden. And as well as Napoleon Bonaparte escaping an assassination attempt. Don't know if this one's true or not, but it's something that... Or from bending down to pick up a four-leaf clover. So it's interesting.
I wouldn't be surprised.
So again, you have this mix of Christian and pagan imagery. Like I said, even the thing I'm wearing right now, the Christians had used it. They usually turn it around the other way, turn it upside down, representing the number three, the shamrock representing the number three, three stages of divinity.
Well, and I think that's what's so fascinating about a lot of the books I've read about this subject in particular is that this person was very good at using, and it's a particular topic that I studied and did papers on in college, was the Christianization of different polytheistic cultures. It's like this person was very good, St. Patrick was very good at taking something that's utilized by a society to, you know, discuss maiden, mother, crone, or, you know, the norms, or the three stages of divinity, or the cycle of the year, or the wheel of the year, and take that and translate it into Christian terms. And not even make a square peg fit where a round one should, just kind of interweave the two, so that way no one's left out.
Right.
And, you know, you could make your own decision, which is pretty cool.
Almost
and a
like
lot of people did decide to lean towards his version of it, you know.
Absolutely. And what I was thinking, Brett, is just to take a brief break. I'm sorry, Darren.
Mm-hmm.
I did Brett shows last night.
Sure.
I want to take a brief break here and come right back, and we'll continue to discuss St. Patrick's Day. Now, this could be a question for you, Darren.
Uh-huh.
To name the artist after the song's over, after we come back.
Oh, okay.
We recorded and played all the music on this next song, and here it is.
Okay.
Remember that the phone lines are open for readings from Darren, who's a very gifted medium who works at Marie Laveau's House of Voodoo in the magical city of New Orleans. And, in fact, someone has just called. So,
hey, guess what? Was that Gwenny's father?
That was Gwenny's father.
Gwenny's father. Awesome.
Stevens, he plays all the instruments on that.
He plays all the instruments? He's crazy.
Absolutely. And you do have a caller, 949. I'm turning your microphone.
Shout out to Gwenny's father. He rocks.
Absolutely. Good job, Gwenny's father. And hello, Lady Gwen, if you're listening.
Mm-hmm.
949, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi there.
Actually, honestly, I just called. I wanted to listen to your show. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay.
I didn't have a question.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Do you have a funny St. Patrick's Day story or anything fun to add?
Well, I celebrated last night.
Oh, you did last night?
Yeah. I celebrated with
Did you have a good time?
We had a good time. We had tri-tip, you know, had a fire pit and, you know,
oh, wow.
Hung out. Yeah.
Are you in Texas?
No, California.
Oh, California. Okay, cool.
Uh huh.
Cool. I was just going.
You're on the air. Would you like a general message reading?
What?
Would you like us to just kind of pick something that maybe relates to your life and just see what we got going on?
Oh, Okay, go ahead. Go for it.
Okay, what's your first name?
My first name is Selena.
Okay, one second.
Nice name. Like that name.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Was it Helena or Elena?
Selena.
Selena.
Oh, Selena. Oh, cool.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Just one moment.
Shuffling.
So, Selena, you have a pretty interesting magical name, and I have to tell you, you're getting the High Priestess right side up. The High Priestess, she's an inspirational lady. She, women are impressed by her. Men want to kind of check out what she's doing. They're interested in her because she has Mysterioso and inspirational goddessy energy. So, and you don't have to take that in any sort of magical sense. You can look at it as, you're maybe that lady that inspires men to kind of, and women to kind of be better people, and, that's great. So you must have, your energy must have been high last night, and you must have been really embracing that sort of, like, groovy vibe that you have that you kind of put out into the world, which is cool. I also picked the King of Wands, which relates to somebody who wants to help you map things out in your life, who's a male figure who is pretty proactive, planning and inspirational. So this is somebody you want to look out for. Don't be intimidated by somebody that feels like you feel like they might be micromanaging what's happening with you. Maybe it's time for you to let somebody do a little bit more of that.
Okay.
You can just focus on your High Priestess and inspiring people, and then they can help you figure shit out. So that'll be good.
Well, that sounds awesome.
Mm-hmm, yeah, I'm getting a lot of good stuff today. I don't know what it is. The Guinness must be flowing. I don't know what's happening. So everyone's getting some good answers. So it's a good thing.
Well, it's a beautiful day here in California.
Oh, marvelous. That's good. Yeah, this is a beautiful day here in New Orleans too. So just kind of loving on it. It's been colder here this year than it has been in a couple of years. So mm-hmm. It's nice to have a beautiful day for today.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So
well,
whatever
you're
doing, if it's spiritually inspirational, keep doing it because it's working for you.
Okay. That sounds wonderful. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thanks for calling.
All right.
Okay.
Selena, I'm going to go ahead and turn your microphone off, and you can, of course, remain and listen.
Okay.
Thank you very much for accidentally calling Spiritual Insight. Back to some of the St. Patrick stuff. There was a time in the 1840s during the potato famine called a mass emigration, the difference of immigration or emigration, people fleeing Ireland. They're starting to do that now because their economy is not very good.
Mm-hmm.
So the world's going to get a little paler again.
It was a mass exodus of sorts.
Exactly. And there was one in the 1840s during the potato famine to America, Canada, Australia. And actually the corned beef that we think of, which is awesome, great dish, the corned beef is actually an Irish-American tradition, just like the fortune cookie is a Chinese-American. In China, they call the fortune cookie the Chinese fortune cookie. The American fortune cookie. It was invented by Chinese-Americans in California. In fact, our caller is from there. Now, corned beef was used by American Irish. The traditional Irish meal was bacon and potatoes instead of the corned beef and cabbage. So that's another little fact about...
I didn't realize, a lot of people didn't know that, but I didn't know the bacon and potatoes end of it.
Mm-hmm.
Was it like any sort of slab bacon, or was it interesting bacon? Or
it's
do you know
actually boiled bacon.
Boiled bacon.
Boiled.
That sounds marvelous.
No matter what you do.
Hey, but see, that goes right back to it was a dour day. It was not like we're pulling the lamb, the mutton shanks out for this day. We're just going to do some boiled bacon. And you know what I mean? It's like, it's not exactly like everyone was like doing car wheels down the street or anything like that.
And have a pint.
Yeah, you have a pint and sit and reflect and, Easter's coming up. I guess I'll talk a little more about Easter when Easter happens. But Easter here is hilarious because it's just everyone dresses up like rabbits and chickens and goes crazy. And,
so and it's honestly, St. Patrick's Day is fairly close to the Eostra or Ostara holiday.
Yeah.
The 24th, mm-hmm. 21st in some places. Some places it's within that week, da-da-da-da-da. So it's an interesting... Some say
it is interesting. I've been buying things at the grocery store that are spring themed. I don't know why. They had spring themed Oreos, and I don't know if it was the marketing or something.
It's a spring theme.
Or maybe because I'm getting married or something. But it had like yellow filling or green, yellow and green filling, and then like butterflies on it. Like I was like, and it just tasted like an Oreo. But I guess it was the marketing. I don't know what it is exactly.
Like the green beer.
It's like the green beer thing. That kind of gets a little, I don't know if you've been one of those people that has regurgitated green beer before, but it's not the kind of thing you want to see in the morning. It's just not a good, it's not a good place to be. It's not fun. It's not a good thing. So it gets like, and if you're the bartender that has to dye the beer green and you wake up or you get like, you leave the bar with green hands all over the place or there's green dye all over you. It's just not a good, not especially fun. Mm-hmm. Because you'll get that little bar that wants to do it too. They're like, we're going to do it too. And they go get a box of food coloring and they're like, figure it out. And you're like, what? You know, and then it just gets everywhere. So
that's the other end of this. Brief pause, Darren, just to do a announcement basically for the shows on the station.
Oh, sure. Uh-huh.
I want to start right off with, you're listening to Spiritual Insight with Darren Bouquer, Sunday evenings at 7 p.m. All of these shows are Eastern time that I'll be announcing. And that's the one you're listening
and
to.
I would like to say that if anyone wants to get a hold of me for a private reading, to just go ahead and send me an email at dbucare@gmail.com. That's dbouquer@gmail.com.
And Monday evenings, we have Kevin Baird. His show is Walking on the Sidewalk, A Horizon Oracle's Journey. Kevin is the creator of a divination oracle card deck called the Horizon Oracle, from which he reads from and does a divination show himself. He can be reached at www.templeofgaia.com. And his show is 9 p.m. Eastern Time here on the Main Street Universe Network. We also have on Tuesdays, Mary Phelan. Very Irish name there, by the way.
Yeah, totally right.
Phelan, Mary Phelan. 11:30 a.m., our one daytime show now is Mary Phelan with her show Inner Wisdom. So check it out. She's a 14-year hostess of a television show called Telepathic TV here in the Northern Virginia area. Now, on Wednesdays, we have the flagship show, and that's where our little network gets its name, Main Street Universe. The name of the show is Main Street Universe, and we are on at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. It is myself and hostess Janice. This week, we have somebody from the Cherry Hill Online Metaphysical School. This would be an interesting guest. And Cherry Hill Seminary, it's actually called. 7 p.m. Eastern, Janice is also hostess of World Reggae Party, right here in Fairfax, Virginia, on Public Access Radio. And Friday evenings, we have Jesse Ann and Nicholas George and her show, Activating Compassion in the Midnight Hour. She is an author and a life coach, an integrated development specialist. And her book is Activating Compassion. Her show is Activating Compassion in the Midnight Hour, and it's 12 p.m. midnight. She, as well, is author of the workbook companion of that book. So check her out at midnight, Friday evenings. So that's the Main Street Universe lineup, which is growing and growing. And now we have a sister network called Cafe Fairfax, and the host is Brett Hillman. I will not always announce the shows on the sister network every time, but we started and we have two shows. I use it as divination practice, and Brett Hillman is the host of his own show there, called The Main Hermit. Times to be mentioned. So that's our announcement.
Okay. Beautiful. What kind of other shows are on there right now? Or
right now, I have a divination show that I occasionally do using Evan Baird's Horizon Oracle deck, and occasionally I pull up a tarot card or two if the person requests it. And Brett's show. Brett is a Christo or a Christian pagan, as people call themselves. And he has Christian imagery. I think the tarot deck he reads from, even though his show is not a divination show, he talks about issues of being in his belief system and just spiritual issues that he wants to discuss. He is actually a Christian pagan. He's actually got the education as a Christian minister, as well as a pagan minister. So he brings a Christo-pagan sort of officialness to that little network. And he likes the Christian imagery. The deck he does read from when he occasionally does a divination episode is, it's the Saint deck. I think it's the one by Robert Place.
Yeah, I'm familiar with it.
And Mary Thielen actually had him on as a guest at one point.
Oh.
So Brett's very bright, very educated, and still going to school. He's always in school.
He's always in school. Okay.
Multiple degrees.
But, I mean, that always interests me. I've just run into a couple people that were crystal pagans that weren't exactly.
Conjurations, angel conjure, some people call out. Instead of saying, you know, watchtowers of the East or any of these sort of things, they say, I call upon the Archangel Raphael, you know, representing Aaron.
Well, I understand all that. Yeah, I mean, I do that myself. But I've just run into some people that weren't exactly the best examples of said sect of or religious focus. You know, they were a little bit, just they were trying to figure it out, you know. Brett sounds like somebody who actually is, you know, he's educated as a minister, and so he sounds like somebody that could really offer a good spotlight on what exactly is, what is Christo-paganism and what is it all about. And so that sounds really interesting.
Yeah, he blends them well. He blends them well, and is considering becoming a Unitarian minister as well. To mix it all together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, and the thing is, too, like I do, I it's part of my theosophy as well. So while I'm not walking around going, you know, having a label that says that per se, I'm completely, you know, on the same page with that one. So I understand that. So that's great. That's cool. So you have a lot of different openings in that sister area.
Oh yeah,
or?
Right now we have a half hour a day. It's the smaller network system, and it's on Blog Talk Radio, the same one. And we have a half hour a day. And he's going to be taking up one or two of those half hours, whatever he wants, until the other hosts come in and take up the other ones.
That's great.
Basically, well, just the other ID on the network, but when you get another separate ID, you're awarded a free show. So I decided to make it into a sister network of some other friends that I have that instead of just doing an independent show, which they could do, they can all do the same thing. Why not be part of a network family instead, kind of a thing? You know, and get.
Well, that sounds like a great idea, Daniel. So other St. Patrick's Day thing. I would like to mention that, sometimes this is the time of year where, this is Lent, too. So, I mean, it's the kind of thing where if you are Catholic, that's why it's like the boiled bacon and the potatoes, right?
Right.
You know, like not a lot of craziness. You're allowed to kind of tip a couple glasses maybe on St. Patrick's Day because it's still Lent, you know. But that's where it is wholly American to just throw caution to the wind and say, you know, let it fly anyway on that level. But I do enjoy this holiday. It really is. I'll be like that person in the parade, kind of just running up into the parade and doing my thing. Because I think it's fun. I think it is good. You've had quite a few fun St. Patrick's Days, right, Daniel?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, I spent part of my life living as a musician, and I'm going to return to that to a degree, though this time it'll be a bit more responsibly than I did the first time.
Mm-hmm. Kevin, what about you?
Hello?
Oh, yeah, hello.
Kevin.
Yeah, I'm here. I didn't know if I was still muted or what.
No, you haven't been muted.
Okay. I was just thinking about how St. Patrick's Day was on the 16th, right? Wasn't it?
17th.
17. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but today. Because 3:16 is a verse out of the Bible. So God loved the world that he gave his only begotten son.
Mm-hmm.
Right, John 3:16 kind of stuff. And it's also one of my cards. And it's about the rising sun. And here it's Easter. You know, Ostera is like right around the corner.
That's right. Yeah, you're going to tie it into Ostera then, yeah.
And then also celebrating St. Patrick's Day. I'm really wondering if there's more of a message between St. Patrick's Day and Ostera. There's a window right there, like you were talking about Lent, you know, and
mm-hmm.
What's the Lenten? What are you doing? What's your Lenten? You know, what are you getting rid of, right? And
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Patrick drove out the snakes, wasn't it? He who drove out the snakes, right? That's the story?
Yes. Yeah, but the snakes are the pagans.
Yeah,
or
the
thought process of the
pagans. Ireland didn't have snakes.
Yeah. Who was it that drove out the snakes? What was that story?
No,
that,
the snakes are a metaphor for the pagan thought process, the thought process that they have to have giant bonfires on Samhain, because if not, then the world will end. The high kings were in charge of Ireland. There was no Christian influence on Ireland to any major degree. And it was that last holdout bastion of a place that had that. And everyone was too scared to go there because it wasn't quote civilized. So that's where the whole dichotomy with that, like, you know, it was this whole, like, was he doing a good thing by doing that? Was it a bad thing? You know, it was a lot of the fact that we have all these, like, the bards are all Irish, and there's all this wonderful music and all this really, you know, like, powerful feeling that comes from Irish, you know, sports and music and all this stuff and culture and writing, Yeats, and, you know, like, it's because they were pagan longer. I mean, than a lot of other communities were. They weren't subjugated. They were allowed to do whatever the heck they wanted for a long time.
Okay.
Darren, I've done a thing that's different and unique for your show only because there's no callers.
Uh-huh.
It's very rare for your show. Your show is usually flooded with callers, but you
mm-hmm.
were
mm-hmm.
doing exactly, we had some breaks.
St. Patrick's Day. I had, what was the other day that I had, the Super Bowl? I said one night was the Super Bowl and the other night was St. Patrick's Day. So, I mean,
yeah,
I'm
so
not,
these
I'm
things
not.
Happen. So I went ahead. I'm going to reverse this and do something different. I pulled some cards for you, which I don't often do.
Oh, boy. Okay.
These are for Kevin. These are general message, so they're relaxed. But they're from Kevin's deck. They're the Horizon Oracle.
Oh, okay.
Basically, it's coming down to this. And I won't explain them too long. I'll get what I basically get from them. And then tell Kevin what's hard.
We got 20 minutes. Go for it.
So
basically,
it's letting go. It's understanding that things aren't perfect, but keeping moving on. I don't think you have an issue with that. I think that's actually more about if you are having any kind of issue, that's fine. But I think you're a go-getter. So I don't think that's the thing. It's upright, and it's the obsession card. Sometimes we get stuck, but don't worry about it. Keep moving forward. This is a general message, again.
Well, can I comment on that card?
Yeah, please.
Do you understand that I've been mostly doing a lot of little things to make sure my wedding that happens on Saturday is good for everybody involved? So, yeah, I mean, that has a lot to do with it.
You have been
and
obsessing.
Do I need to chill out? Yeah, no doubt.
It does. And what my whole point was when I said that, I said, I probably shouldn't do this. It's because I know you. I know you're the type of person to be a go-getter and get over things. But, yes, it's the obsession card upright,
oh, yeah.
Meaning let go of some of these details. Nothing's perfect.
Right.
The next card is the introspection card associated with the time 740 in the reverse position. Mm-hmm. That's telling me that there are others watching you. There's things going on. There's others watching your deep talents. I'm going to keep going and explain what I think of all the cards together.
Okay, I don't understand that card, but
okay.
I would like you to elaborate on it a little bit more. But
I will, and Kevin will as well, since he's on the line.
Okay.
The next card is the burdens card reversed, and the next card after that is the networking card. And
the what?
This is, to me,
I didn't understand the word you said. The what card?
Oh, I'm sorry, networking.
The networking card, okay.
Networking card associated with the time 7:59, and that one's up, right? And Kevin, the card before that is the 4:40 card. So it's associated with time 4:40, and it's the burdens card reversed. So we have, in my opinion, from this, when I look at this, I see there's a lot of things going on of you feeling like people looking at you, feeling, like you said before, dealing with it, obsessions, da-da-da-da, even other people's problems, burdens, because it's the burden card in reverse position, which is dealing not with your burdens to let go, but maybe even others looking upon you and going, okay, da-da-da-da-da. Of course, being in your position, you're a reader. Being a reader, you're even asked to help people with their own burdens. And in the picture of this card is somebody dragging by a whole bunch of blocks. He's holding them by a string and pulling them all, and it's like he's carrying this heavy weight behind him.
Okay.
And it's reversed in Kevin's deck, or in the Horizon Oracle. Reversed means how others are involved in the situation. It's a little bit different than the tarot.
Okay.
Reverse.
Okay. Go, so, yeah. So go ahead.
At the end, it's telling me that the two big ones that are sticking out to this from me is the first one I mentioned that you commented on, which is let go, nothing's perfect.
Mm-hmm, right.
That's a huge thing I'm getting from this. I'm just feeling it almost without the cards. The next thing is you just moving forward, plugging in, networking, doing what you do, and not letting any of this, anything holding you back,
mm-hmm.
whether it's other people's burdens or your own. It's definitely about continuous networking. And what I want to do is draw one more set of two. And I'm just going to do it right from the top.
Okay.
And
Aaron, you can write down the numbers associated with the cards, and that you can go look them up on my website over at templeofgaia.com.
Oh, okay.
So the 440 in reversed is, what are you being expected to carry, like carrying other people's loads?
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder, since we're here, Kevin, I wonder if you could comment on these cards. Burdens in reverse, as we said, and networking being the end card, upright.
The time associated with that?
7:59.
Okay.
Oh, go ahead.
We're getting hit with like major thunderstorms outside. It's getting really crazy. So if I drop off, I drop off.
I heard
so,
a little flip there.
Was it reversed or facing?
Networking card was upright.
Okay, so this says to trust your problem-solving abilities. Is what that is about. Here, this kind of technology is not working, and you are the only one around to fix it. You have to complete the connection or be left behind holding a bag of sticks.
Okay.
So it's like moving forward in the technologies, making things get working for the current situation.
It's a lot of what I'm immersed in right now, and it's it's nothing. None of it is at all extraordinarily difficult. It's just a little, challenging, and it's personally enriching on a lot of levels, and it's a lot of what anybody goes through before they get married, I think, too.
I have to say, with me being the originator of the Horizon Oracle, I'm really the primary student. It's like I'm the Moses, I guess, of the Horizon Oracle, basically, as the thunder claps outside.
Right. Well, you're learning every time you use it, I would imagine.
Yes. So.
Yeah.
I'm not done.
I mean,
we all
do when we use the major arcana, too. It's like, and that's what's really, wonderful about the fact that you created this on your own. It's like the major arcana are age-old symbols you know, that you know, uncounted people utilize all the time. But it's like you'd learn something new every time you use them if you let yourself learn. So.
And if the networking were reversed, it would be a message about disconnect from unproductive networks of individuals or groups.
And basically what I'm getting as a general from this
give me a general.
Giving you this, I'm getting a real sense of you feeling overburdened by certain things. Of course, there's a lot of stuff rushing and, you know, the quickness of all everything you're going through. And it's literally just saying, but you have the answer and to trust it, because I also, just as a cross-talk thing, I do this occasionally, is to trust your intelligence and trust your ability. The networking card says that, as well as to trust your innovation, because I also pulled from my tarot deck and I got the Page of Pentacles, which is youthful, new study and letting go of indecision, because it was the Two of Swords reversed. That's how I read it. I'm being the reader here. I review that as a letting go of indecision and to trust your intelligence, to trust your intelligence in the networking card, and to not sweat the detail so much. And that
that's been my major issue lately, sweating details and stupid stuff. I mean, that's been about it, unfortunately. And, you know, I think it's a symptom of what happens in this time in your life. I'm a pretty detail-oriented person. Like, I had a pretty extensively popular event for the House of Blues once upon a time and stuff. So I like events, but I also get very detail-oriented when I'm in charge of them, you know. So, or I have to plan them out or have a heavy, you know, responsibility involved with it. So.
And as I said, I put the cards away now, so I'm not looking at them. But
okay.
I'm definitely getting that feeling from them of you trusting your intelligence. Well, some people associate the Page of Pentacles with study and things like that, and something new, because it's a page. New. Now, swords would be information. Page could be new things are coming, new good things are coming, new good information that's economic or physical pleasure. So it's going to be all right.
Right. Well, I look at it as also it's a youthful card. It's a youthful card of expansion. I mean, that's
Well,
a lot of what I'm doing now is it's a youthful enterprise. It's a lot of enthusiasm involved with it, and it's not anything that I walk into as an old hat person that's been doing it for a long time.
And
you know, so
the reason I even brought it up is because I knew you identify with the tarot, so I knew you know what it mean. And
oh yeah.
Kevin's networking card and Kevin's obsession card in the beginning was perfect, I think, for what you described. And the burdens card as well. You just got to let it go and not think things are perfect. You know, you just trust your intelligence, trust your ability. In the network card, it's a picture of someone, he's about to connect like a plug to another side of the plug, you know, the male to the female end, which is funny for a wedding, right? But he's connecting the male and female end of a plug. Like saying, just trust in your ability to do that and let it happen.
Well, another thing too is networking thing is just, you know, you might want to look at it as, oh, I'm meeting all these people, I'm making all these connections. It's like when you merge two lives together, you both have the help of that other person's connectivity as well. So you like almost double your effectiveness if you utilize it the right way. So,
yeah,
it can be a really beneficial thing and a beautiful thing. So that's I think a big part of what that card means. But I also think it means that I have been kind of busy lately, and I'm kind of using different formats like this radio format and different things to kind of put myself out there. And it's positive, you know. The Aura class that I hosted the other day was really really proactive. So. And it was somebody that heard me on this radio show. So that's how it works.
Oh, great.
Uh-huh.
And
I mean, it's a New Orleans meetup group, but they avidly get people that are coming through town off of Blog Talk Radio, so.
Well, that's good. And
as presenters and stuff.
Main vibe I was getting from this reading, even, you know how sometimes you just look at the cards and they're all saying one thing together? Mine was saying, trust your intelligence and trust your intuition. It's okay. Don't obsess details. Nothing's perfect.
So that's and that's what my spirit guide is saying. So I got to let old Frank, just I got to let him tell me what he tells me, and that's it. You know. And no matter what your little nuances of weird thoughts pop up and stuff, I mean, it's like I've learned enough to trust my feeling and my spirit guides and my guardian angels and all that jazz, and it's like I've known enough to trust them for a long time now. So it's not always easy, but it's something that I do, and I get rewarded for it, so that's good. And we should all do that. We should all try to pay attention to what that really strong feeling is. You know, I do think it's easy to give up on people. Nowadays, people don't want a relationship that's complicated. They don't want to deal with other people if they come with any sort of baggage or anything like that. Or they give up on love, you know. I mean, you're giving up on love where you really love somebody, but, oh, maybe they can't take you to the, you know, to Hot Topic once a week or to, you know, the mall or whatever and do what you want to do. Or maybe they do take you to the mall, but they're not that interesting and they don't like the same types of live music you like. Have you tried to take them to the live music? Have you tried to maybe ask them if they want to go with you to the park instead of just going to the park by yourself and running, you know, and or, you know, boogie boarding or whatever you do at the park? I mean, try to reach out a little bit. You know, when lives get so disposable now that you can just, like, do Match.com and meet somebody else next week, when you just feel like that's just easier to do than actually putting in any effort into a relationship, then that's what you're going to get back out of it. So,
right. And some people, it's just out of, they go, oh, gosh, do I want to actually, you know, have to deal with somebody else again? There's so many
things. There's that. Sometimes it takes a while. And you know what? If you need that time, take that time. Take a while. You know?
I think more people need to take more alone time. I think some people are the types that they just jump right into somebody new's arms, and I think you should find.
Yeah, I gave you the opposite end of that, but what's even worse, and where most of my clients have an issue, a lot of my clients, are that they do the opposite, which is I have to be with somebody. I have to have somebody there, even if it's so obsolete and they don't have that kind of feeling for them. It's like it has to be somebody. And it's like they can't just be okay with them by themselves, you know. And that can be even worse because then that gets sloppy because then there's a collateral damage involved, other people involved, and if you don't really have that feeling towards that person, then what, you know?
Oh yeah, it's not a well. I guess it's an art and a science in some way, but it's not an exact science. You can't.
It's a risk.
Actually, who you
it's
love?
It's a risk. But just like any endeavor, you know, it's a risk and you can lose, but you can also gain a lot too. And you can gain the networking card.
And isn't it better to give it a try and plug in? No pun intended.
Right.
So, Darren, give a shout out to your honey bunny while you're talking about that.
Okay. Yeah. What kind of shout-out should I give her? I don't know. I just want to say that she's amazing and beautiful and doing her homework on the other side of the table right now, and she's really incredible. And,
did she hear the show?
Yeah.
I would like to say, if she can hear the show, that what I think is great about when I see the pictures of the two of you, that it's refreshing to see a guy who's with a girl who's clearly out of his league get married.
Thanks for that one, buddy.
Just playing.
So it's a good thing.
She's a cute girl, I'm just saying.
No, you're not wrong. But, yeah, so are you guys going to go out after this, or what are you going to do for the rest of the evening?
Me, I'm actually going to chill because I have to get up at like 4 a.m. tomorrow and go to work. I work very early morning shift.
4:30, that's the home. What I was actually thinking of doing was going to get a Shamrock Shake. Throwing some Jameson in it.
I am going to pour a glass of wine or something. I do drink much less than I used to, but I am going to, you know, chill out a little bit, but not too much,
okay.
And then I have to get up very early.
Kevin, how about you and the Bible Belt? What are you going to do? Do they have, like, anybody celebrating St. Patrick's Day out there or not?
Kevin, are you there?
Sorry, I had you muted. Are you there?
Yeah,
he was asking what you're doing for St. Patty's Day out in the Bible Belt there.
I went to a local diner called Gabby and Granny's Buffet.
That sounds pretty interesting. Do they have any, like, granny style, like, home cooking and that sort of thing?
Fried chicken, fried catfish, all local.
Oh, that's pretty cool, actually, if it's all local.
I like it. Mm-hmm.
Green beans and mashed potatoes, gravy. They had spare ribs that fell off the bone kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And biscuits.
Nice.
And it was heaven.
Amazing. I got to tell you, that's one thing I really enjoy, is you can go to any corner here and get, like, really good fried catfish anywhere. That's, like, amazing. But then you can also get fried oysters and shrimp, too, which is something you don't see that growing up in Cleveland very much.
What I like about down south on the Gulf Coast, boiled peanuts, the Cajun boiled peanuts.
Cajun boiled peanuts?
Yeah.
You can get cracklings if you eat that sort of thing, which is fried pig skin. That's really odd, but you get a lot of really interesting. I love the fact that you can get seafood like you do, you know. And if you're right off the, are you kind of close to the Mississippi River, Kevin?
Yes.
Yeah, so there you go. You get, that's where you get that catfish and everything. That's just great.
They also have farm-raised in the area, too.
Oh, see, that's beautiful. You know, I just love catfish. I'm a big fan. They have this place here that you go and you order a bucket of catfish. So they give you, it's literally a bucket and with just all these giant fillets of cornmeal fried catfish. And there you go, and you got half off, and they just turn you loose. There's no side dish. No, that's it. Just go crazy. So it's just pretty interesting. Things you run into out here, it's kind of crazy.
Yep, and I had that dinner with my mom and her husband.
Oh, very nice. That's cool. Do you like her husband?
I'm connecting with family.
Oh, see. And then there, I'm jealous, but I will have my family here this weekend, so I'll get to kind of catch up with my goddaughter and everything. Oh, you'll appreciate this. I have my shirt on right now. I don't know if you've seen it online, but it's a Lucky Charms shirt, but it's Loki Charms.
Loki Charms.
Popping out of the bowl, and it says, "Buy Frosted." It's got one of the marshmallows is Thor, and he's crying.
Hey, I got to let you guys go. I got another call coming in.
Okay, Kevin. Good night.
Bye.
Good night, Kevin.
All right. We're winding down.
Yeah. One of the marshmallows is this Thor, and he's crying. I love it. Mischiefly delicious. It's really fun.
We are winding down, and that's what I'm saying.
All right.
Bye.
Well, everybody have a great St. Patrick's Day, and I will talk to you 2 weeks from now, and we'll have more spiritual insight for you.
Thanks, everybody. Punch on. Happy St. Patrick's Day.